Yeah, and we getting ready to go for.
Love Talk Radio.
Did you want to open? Did you want to open it up for prayer?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Okay. Okay.
1 Peter 1:15, and he which is holy, which has called you, is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another place building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true full-hearted believer.
You'll be through with this in a few seconds. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise. We're going to have a blessed night tonight. Praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I pray that God has blessed all of you who are listening on tonight. And we're having a wonderful program on tonight. We have Brother John Ramirez, the author of the book Out of the Devil's Cauldron. This is part two, really. He's going to be talking about some things that God has revealed to him in reference to the church. Now, Brother Ramirez, he's in the process right now of writing another book. So I'm going to put this out there right now so that y'all can be ready for it as soon as it comes out. Now, the name of this next book that Brother Ramirez is putting out is The Devil Goes to Church. Y'all hear that out there? The Devil Goes to Church. This is his next book that he is in the process of writing and putting out. So I'm putting it out there now so that as soon as it's ready, y'all can go out there and get it, and you'll be blessed by that. So at this point in time, I'm going to have Brother Ramirez to open up the program with prayer.
Amen. I bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord. We ask you to forgive us for our sins of today, Father God. We have sinned in any way, my God, and offended you, Lord. We pray for forgiveness, Father God. Lord, we come before you, my God, nothing of our own strength, my God. We got nothing to offer, Lord, in this show, on this talk block radio, Lord, but we can point to the one that has it all. His name is Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, to bring an awareness to the church, my God, to the body of Christ tonight, Father God, that people will know, my God, that God, his heart has a concern for the believer, for the ones that have been redeemed, my God. Lord Jesus, we pray, Father God, help us, Lord, to run the race. Help us to finish our race strong in
Amen.
Prayer.
Amen.
Father God,
Amen.
Help us finish the race, my God, in the times that we're in today, my God. Father, I know that the times are dark, my God, and they're going to get darker, Father God. Lord, you say, Lord, that you will cut the time short, my God, because not even the saved will be saved, Father God, in the times that we're in, Father God. Father, we trust you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We honor you, Father God. We stand at awe of who you are, how sovereign and awesome you are. Father, I pray that any believer that come on the show tonight, my God, even those unbelievers that are listening tonight, my God, that they will be saved and know that Jesus loved them, no matter what condition that they're in today, Father God. You say it's not where you start, it's where you finish. Father God, we pray tonight, Father God, that those that are listening tonight, my God, we know that Christ has a plan for them, my God. Doesn't matter who's listening, any devil worshippers, any homosexual, anyone that is living outside of the will of God. Father God, I pray for those, my God, that they will know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, and give you a chance, not, my God, to give you a chance to know how much you love them, Father God, and what you've done for them at the cross. Father, we honor you tonight, my God. Father, hide us behind the cross of Jesus Christ, my God, that there will be no flesh, my God, that will get glory out of this, my God, that will be all about you, Lord, tonight. And forevermore, Lord, we thank you, my God. We are indebted to you, Father God, for what you've done for us. And we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Brother Ramirez, like I said on the night, Brother John, we are overjoyed that you're sharing your testimony with us on tonight. And as I said previously, it's our desire that you go according to the spirit in what you're getting ready to say. Now, I brought that out earlier about your book, The Devil Goes to Church, and I noticed on the last program that I heard you speaking on Firefall, you were speaking something about these false giftings and strange things that's going on in the church, in churches today, and going on in the lives of believers. So
we can
start in some of those things, and start in just wherever God has led you in this area. And so right now you have the mic, and you can go as the Lord leads you, brother.
Man, thank you so much. I just want to thank you for having me on the show. This is a blessed opportunity to come on and give God glory, and also bless the brothers and sisters in the Lord, just to share my heart, what God has blessed my heart tonight, and just, you know, in awareness, you know, in the church, in the body of Christ, you know, and the times that we're in. We're in some serious times, and I think a lot of us in the body of Christ, we have not discerned the times that we're in. And we are acting more like in the days of Noah. People are just shopping, doing their thing, and going about, and more consumed of the things of the world, more consumed of what CNN has to say, what NBC has to say. But you know, no one is tuning into the JC channel. What Jesus has to say. One is tuning into what the cross, what Jesus Christ has to say in the times that we're in. No one is tuning into the Word of God. That is the channel we need to be on today, because that's the only thing that's going to keep us through the days that we're in the coming days, in the coming months that are coming. That's the only thing that's going to keep us. Are we exercising? I mean, a lot of us are running. I run. I like to exercise. But are we exercising and increasing the exercises in the Word of God, building our faith? in Christ. Amen. You know, I mean, moving from glory to glory. Are we growing and maturing? Because you know, one thing is brother Montgomery. One thing is to grow up. I mean, to grow old, but not grow up.
Yeah.
You know, one thing is to grow old, but not mature. You know, in the things of God. You know, and a lot of Christians are still struggling and caught up in cycles of besetting sin and things that no growth, no purpose, no destiny, no moving forward. And then we're listening to things that sound like the gospel. We're listening to things that sound like they're holy, you know, a form of godliness, but denying the power, which is Jesus Christ. You know, no nothing behind the word. People borrowing their sermons from here and there and preaching anything that sounds good. And we're getting caught up with that. But, then not only, you know, we are not discerning what the word has to say, what God has to say. I believe in one of the epistles, Paul shares his heart, and the Bereans, they go and they test the scriptures, and they test the spirit. And the Bible says in the last day we have to be testing the spirit at all time. It's the Holy Spirit behind us, not the spirit.
That's right.
And because the only spirit that's walking the earth today is the Holy Spirit, and that lives in us, and the rest is demons.
That's right. That's right.
The rest are demons. I mean, I just want to give before I get into the deception of what's going on, this false gospel that's being preached today, that people are buying into it, and people buying CDs and people buying DVDs on it, and they think that this is the true gospel of the cross. You know, I mean, people are preaching the gospel in churches and even open up their Bibles and just preaching anything. I mean, just crazy stuff coming out of the pulpit.
Right.
I mean, I heard the other day this guy was saying there was and I don't want to throw names out there because I'm not here to hurt nobody. I pray for the brothers and sisters that are being deceived by the enemy. There's a scripture in First Timothy chapter 4 that it says this in the scripture. It says in chapter 4, the first two verses, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some would depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons."
Yes.
You know, and they say speaking lies, hypocrisy, having their own conscience sealed with a hot iron. In other words, their minds are made up. You know, their minds are so fixed onto these things of people pimping the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, thinking people pimping the cross when the cross is a place of redemption, a place of forgiveness, a place of restoration, a place of a divine exchange. That I give you my filth, and I give you my ashes, and you give me your beauty. Because Christ will give you beauty for ashes. That's what the cross is about. I mean, I just want to share a little backdrop before I get into what I have for you. I was an ex-devil worshiper for 25 years of devil worshiping.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be a Christian. I mean, I was far. If you would have asked me when I'm in my devil worshiping days, you want to be a Christian? I said, I'd rather die before I become a Christian. I don't want none of this Christianity stuff because to me it was foolish. There was nothing behind it. There was no one around me that would represent the cross. There was nothing. I mean, I would go to parties and Christians were there. I would go to clubs and Christians were there. I would go to the things of the circular things of the world and Christians were there partaking, eating from the same table of the demons that I was eating from. So why would I want someone? What would I want? What would you have? You got nothing to give me.
Yes, sir. You
got nothing to give me. You got nothing to preach to me. You got nothing to give me that I want to take home and think about.
Mm-hmm.
I would sit at the tables with Christians that were professing going to church, professing that they had a Bible home, professing that they knew God. You knew of God, but you didn't know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew the devil. I would sit with the devil for 25 years of my life. I sat with the devil one-on-one, talked to him, knew all the strategies of the devil. I can describe the devil to the T. I sat in Santeria and spiritualism. I sat in Palo Mayumbe. I sold my soul to the devil. I was 17 people at all that night. I sold the soul to the devil, and I was the one that got the pentagram carved into my flesh, knowing that I was going to be the high-ranked devil worshiper in New York City. I would leave my body home, my brother, and transport myself into – I didn't need JetBlue. I would transport myself into cities and neighborhood and curse cities and neighborhood. I ain't need no plane. I was my own plane. I would project from my house, leaving my body home and going to neighborhoods or going to people's houses and know what's going on in your family and know all your stuff is going on. I have powers beyond you can ever imagine. I have my stuff was killing animals and drinking the blood. My stuff was even to the point that I was gonna sacrifice a human a couple of months before I got saved. I got demon possessed in church and grabbed the pastor by the throat. And top of that, I got married on Halloween. I had a demonic wedding. I was sold out, someone sold out. And to say this, I was so sold out to the devil that it was beyond anyone could ever imagine. If I told you I was going to kill you in 30 days, you was going to die in 30 days. Believe me, I was going to your funeral. Because I would get a recipe from hell, put it on you, and you were done. I mean, I would send you to hospitals, get surgeries and operations that doctors can't even find out and operate, and you would die on the operating table. I was in a place of so demonic and so dark of the religion of Santeria and spiritualism to the point that there was no point of return. I was so sold out, determined that I was going to serve the devil all the days of my life. I was sat with the devil. At the age of 10, the devil became my dad. My dad, my real dad, my natural dad, died at 33 years old. Got shot in the head for a woman that wasn't even his. The devil gave me an offer, and my father was a warlock. I came from a generation of warlock and witches from my father's side, and the devil took out my father because the new replaces the old, and so the devil became my daddy from the age of 10 years old. That was my first time I had an encounter with the dark side, all the way to the age of 25 years in all. Witchcraft, running regions. Talking to demons, making contracts with different demons and principalities from different regions. When you're going to give your life to something, let it be 100% to that something. Whether you're going to serve the devil, serve him 100%. If you're going to serve Jesus, serve him 100%. And I come to bring the awareness of sometimes people think that the devil's weak, that the devil is to play with. Sometimes, and I'm not giving glory to the devil at any point. Don't get me wrong. The devil is defeated. I mean, in the cross of Jesus Christ. We know that. But if you don't have Christ and you don't have the mind of Christ and you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to back you up, you got nothing. The devil will play you like a puppet with strings.
That's right.
He has license to do whatever he wants to do with you.
That's right.
He has license to do whatever he wants to do with you. And if you're not tuned into the voice of God, if you're not tuned into to Christ himself, you got nothing to fight back the devil.
That's right.
Devil been defeating and deceiving people from generation to generation. I mean, if you look at TV evangelists on TV today, how many of these great pastors thought that they were all that in a bag of chips and they've been deceived by the devil and been knocked down from where they're at?
That's right. You said it.
I say this, and not because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is all powerful. Because when I came across Christians that I used to break their faith, and I used to put a spirit of unbelief on them. It wasn't because their God was weak, not because their God was weak, it's because they were weak.
Yeah.
They looked Christian from the outside, but their spirit man was anemic. They had nothing to offer. They had nothing to give me. They had nothing to come back and fight with. We go to church today, and another thing, we go to church today, and church is basically like 2 hours, which is nothing. And right away, as soon as the pastor says amen, people are running out.
You're right.
You even forgot what the pastor said. You come outside, and so everyone say, what was preached today? I don't know. When I used to go to demon church, my brother Bobby, when I used to go to demon church, I would go to demon church at 7 o'clock in the evening, and get out at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ain't that something?
At 5 o'clock in the morning. I would be in demon church, all night long, demon possessed, getting contracts, signing contracts, talking to different demons, getting recipe, knowing what principality was going to run the region that year, what principality was going to be ushered out to another region. I mean, strategies, plan, master plan, that would break the neighborhood, would break the community, would oppress. Put strongholds in locations and areas so the demon can rule and reign because the devil is the god of this world.
But if brothers and sisters in Christ would learn the warfare of God and stand up and pray and come against all these foul spirits that's been levied against them, then basically the enemy couldn't do what he does.
Can't do nothing. I share something with you real quick. I share a quick testimony before we get into what we're going to share tonight and bless the body of Christ. And I want to, not until the last year on Facebook, one of the demon Santeria guys came on Facebook. He asked me he wanted to be a friend. So I said, I let him come on the Facebook, let him be a friend. He had a different plan. My plan was to minister to him, and introduce him to the cross of Jesus Christ. This guy was the devil. had this guy groomed, trained. He came on Facebook. I mean, he made, when he came on my Facebook page, he made havoc on my Facebook page. I mean, he was saying things, and this guy was diabolically, I mean, sold out to the devil. And, and now here I am saying, okay, I used to be him.
Okay.
I used to be him.
So you used to be him, okay.
I used to be him. I said, this is what I used to be. And then thank God for my prayer life. Thank God, you know, I can't fight him with the same tools I had before. I can't fight
him with
the same tools because I'm all things pass away, all things become new. I am in Christ Jesus today. I serve the Lord.
That's right.
Thank God that I have a prayer life. Thank God that I have a life of fasting. Thank God I have a closet, a prayer closet.
Yes.
So he was trying to woo me into his arena, you know, to bring me down to his, what rank were you? What was this? Oh, to woo me. I knew the game, how the game was played, and because of my prayer life, I managed to a week after I had like a block radio show. This guy was so deceiving and so deceiving, and he came on the show, you know, like a Jezebel spirit. He came on the show and acting like a pity person on the show, and Christians were buying into his drama. They were buying into his drama. I mean, Christians were buying into his drama, believing that what he was saying and what he was coming on the show with was harmless. And here I am finding a devil on a talk show like yours, back and forth, him and I, back and forth. And thank God for the Christians that were mature, that were in the faith, stepped up in Facebook. And I went back and forth with this guy, back and forth with him. So, I mean, it was a tug of war for 2 weeks on Facebook, him and I, back and forth. Me with scriptures and him with his religion, Santeria.
Mm-hmm.
Me bringing out, I went into YouTube and I bought out videos of his religion and saying, how do you see Christ in this? And that back and forth. In the end of the whole thing, just to sum it up, in the end of the whole thing, you know what? He sent me a message on Facebook, which I post. He sent me a message on Facebook. He said, oh, let's make friends. Let's make peace. All we do, we just want you back. And we'll forgive you if you come back to us.
My Lord.
We spoke to the devils and we spoke to the demons. And they said that they want you back. They're willing to forgive the error you made. Going back to the other side, come back to our side. We want you back. And I posted it on Facebook. Christians were blown away. Those Christians that were teaming up with him, the Christians that were actually on his side, because he sounded humble, he sounded gentle, because the devil come as an angel of light.
That's right. That's right.
If you can't discern the voice of God, who are you listening to? Who were you caught up with?
That's right. That's right.
So, like, you know, deception spirits in the church today. I mean, today you had one guy was saying on TV the other day, you know, I give you a prophecy if you call me for $30,000.
Say what?
A prophecy for $30,000. You got people on TV today, if you send me a love offering or you send me an offering, I send you a green handkerchief. Meanwhile, the green handkerchief represents one of the most demonic demons that ever walked the earth. His name is Sarabanda. When you make a contract for him, his color is green. And you're sending me that demon to my house when I'm sending you a love offering.
Wow.
Deceptions in the church. The preaching. Today, churches are preaching people happy to keep people in the church, but they're not preaching the cross of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's wrong. That's wrong,
that is
God.
Wrong. I don't need to preach you happy. Happy ain't going to get you to heaven. Happy is not going to get you when you're alone by your house. How are you going to fight the devil?
No, you can't.
I'm not going to equip you with spiritual warfare, you know, with a happy message. I need to equip you. The body of Christ said that we, the pastors and preachers and those that are entrusted with the word of God, you need to equip the saints, not preach them happy. I don't need to treat the church as if it's a drug place. Come get your fix so you can be, you can be happy for 3 days.
No, you need strength and power of the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing. See, that's the only thing that, see, the devil, he can't do nothing. He has no power against God, Christ, the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit within us. That's what gives us the victory over the enemy. All this other stuff will get you destroyed. That's what it'll do. And I'm saying this over the airwaves. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to have the blood of Jesus over us and covered us and drenched. We got to be drenched in that. We got to be filled with His Spirit, because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the only thing that can constantly and effectively defeat Satan. And we got to have the Word of God in our life. We have to know the Word. That is our fighting. Those are the weapons of our warfare. We're not going to have any effect over the enemy in the flesh. It's not.
No one is preaching the gospel. No one is preaching the truth. No one is preaching the good news. No one is coming with the hammer. There's no convictions in the churches today. I mean, the church, you might as well call it a club. I mean,
where
there's no conviction. There's no mirror that you can reflect yourself and walk out of it. I go to Times Square Church, and this is my home church. And Pastor Dave Wilkerson was my pastor. And Pastor Dave Wilkerson would preach a word that you would tremble. You would have to check yourself before you left out the door to make sure that if you didn't cross the street, get hit by a car, that you was going to make heaven. You know, that's how deep and how profound the word was in my church. Even today, my pastor, Pastor Carter, which is my pastor, preach the same way. I mean, the same anointing on this man. Preaches the same way. That before you leave the church, you want to make sure that you're right with God. You want to make sure that you have a relationship with God. Are we preaching that today? No, we're not.
I'd rather preach
truth to you and you get mad at me, but at least you make heaven.
Well, that's the only thing we have. When you were going forth, the Lord had me to go to some scriptures in 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to read. This is just what you're saying. I'm going to read this. 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us."
Amen. Amen.
Now that's the word.
That's the word.
But you got a lot of people who are walking in dishonesty and walking in craftiness.
The Bible says, watch your ear gate, your eye gate, your mouth gate.
That's right.
I mean, we at work, we have a circular job, and we have to go to a circular job, and thank God for a circular job that God gives us, because, you know, we bring a paycheck home, and we need to pay our bills. In a circular job, in a circular job that you're in, I'm in a circular part-time job, and do they see Christ? Do they see Christ in me? Do they see Christ in me? Am I bringing the church to work?
No.
You know, am I representing Christ in the place that He put me in? Am I sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ there from time to time when I get the chance to? Am I saying, you know, do the Jesus 24/7? Because, you know, you have a job. You got to work. You got to respect the rules and regulations at work. But God makes ways in your circular environment. God makes ways for you to share the gospel.
That's right.
I've done it. I sat in my place where I work, my part-time job. I sat and shared the gospel there. I shared the gospel with Catholics. I shared the gospel with the Jewish people. I shared the gospel with the unbeliever, the atheist, the Gnostic. I shared the gospel. Because you know why? That is my job. My number one job is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. My second job is the circular job that I got.
That's right.
Because I was called to share the gospel. I was called to share the good news. I was called that other people's blood will not be in my hands.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
I ride around with this gentleman, and he's older in age, and I ride around when he's old in age, and he's not a believer, and I share this to say this. I share the gospel with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his wife is His wife is not a believer. His wife is Jewish. You know, she read my book. She said, "I'm reading your book because I love you, but I hate I'm attuned to the Jesus guy you're talking about." I got no room for this Jesus guy in my life. But she sees Jesus in me. And I preach to her from the Old Testament. I preach Jesus to her from the Old Testament. So what are we doing with our time here? Are we redeeming our time? I mean, Christians, I remember when the show Sopranos was a popular show, and I think I only saw one episode to see what was the hype on the show. And Christians were running home and running home, couldn't wait to get home to watch the Sopranos, to watch Phil. You know, what are you watching with your eye gate? What are you listening to with your ear gate? The devil got you when you go get into these shows. When you're running home and you want to watch Harry Potter. When you're running home and you want to watch Twilight. And you're watching this stuff, letting it get into your spirit, man. But you're giving God 15 minutes, but you're giving the show an hour time. You're giving the devil an hour, but you're giving God 15 minutes. Then you tell me you got the mind of Christ?
Well, you know, brother, Brother Ramirez, a lot of people, they don't believe that there's no danger in that. You know, they don't believe it. They don't believe there's no danger in looking at anything, you know, and listening to anything. They don't feel it. They think it's just a show. They think it's just music.
And then God must be a liar. Because if God said guard your ear gate and your eye gate and your mouth gate, then what is God talking about? What are the scriptures are saying? If God told you guard your salvation, that means that you can lose your salvation. Because why would I guard something I can't lose?
That's right. You're right.
Why would I cover my ears? Why would I cover my mouth or cover my eyes if there's nothing wrong with it? Then God is a liar, and everyone that's saying that it's okay to watch these things, then they must know the truth. But the devil is a liar because God is not a liar. The Bible says that let God arise and let every man be a liar because God is not a liar. God is protecting his children. And we need to bring awareness to the body of Christ because, brothers and sisters, you're out there. This message is not about condemnation or anything to bring judgment. This is saying wake up. Don't let the devil play with you. Don't let the devil play with your home. If you're in a place if you're giving room to the devil, you know, you can get rid of him tonight. You can give him an eviction notice tonight out of your life tonight on this show. You can call in the show. We'll take your phone call. We'll pray for you. We'll stand with you. You know, we play the blood of Jesus and close every demonic door that you open up. You got Christians going to psychics today when the psychics don't even know the future.
No, they don't know the future.
Psychics today going to car reading. Oh, let's see what you got Christians reading horoscopes saying, let's see. I mean, you're opening doors to the dark side. You're opening doors to demonic ways. You're polluting your spirit, man.
That's right. That's right. That leads away from God.
Amen. That leads away from God. That leads that when God speaks to you, you can't hear him because you don't know his voice.
That's right. That's right.
You don't know
That's
his voice. Right. I mean, and one of the things that grabbed me the most, that really grabs me the most in the body of Christ, and I was a young Christian. I was caught up with that. I'm the first one to raise my hand. As a young Christian, my first 2 years of Christianity, maybe my first two, 3 years of Christianity, I was caught up with the same thing because I was hearing it from the Christian body. You know, I'm mad at God. I'm mad at God because God, you know, he didn't do this for me. I'm angry with God because I didn't resolve this situation. I'm angry with God because I didn't get the girlfriend that I wanted. I'm angry with God because I didn't get the promotion I wanted. So I got caught up with the whole thing. So I started saying the same thing. Well, I guess this is Christian talk. I'm angry with God too, you know, because I didn't get what I wanted. So I would say, but then the God sat me down and God said, what would you be angry with me if I saved you? What would you be angry with me when I gave Jesus my son? I gave my all. What would you be angry with me? But today, I hear Christians saying that. In the body of Christ, you 10 years, 15 years with the Lord, saying, I'm angry with God. But let me ask you a question. I haven't heard a Christian yet say, I'm angry with the devil.
They ought to be.
But they aren't. No one is saying it. No one is saying today, you know what? I'm going to get up this morning. I'm going to bring it to the devil tonight. I'm going to bring it to the devil today all day long. I'm going to let the devil know that I'm a Christian. I'm going to let the devil know that, you know what? As long as I got breath in his lung, I'm going to bring it to him. I'm going to make his life miserable. I'm going to make his kingdom miserable. I'm going to expose him for who he is. I don't hear no Christian saying that.
Well, you got some that's saying it now, Brother Ramirez.
You know,
but you're
remnant,
right. You're,
a few.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
have you heard, how long you been saved, my brother? You've been saved for a long time. Have you heard Christians say they mad at the devil? I haven't heard no Christian say that. I mean, maybe my neighbor. I don't know. I mean,
no,
I haven't heard. You know, I've seen people on and I'm not going to mention, on Christian TV shows. No one ever said they met at the devil. Oh, I remember. They sit there and they get their chest. I was angry with God, and, you know, I was angry with the Lord, and yeah, I was angry with Jesus. No one's saying I'm angry with the devil. When the devil's making havoc of your home, the devil wants to destroy you. When the devil wants to take you out, but you're not angry with him. You're okay with him. You're at peace with him. You make contract with him. You don't expose him for who he is because you got a contract with him. If you don't expose the devil for who he is, and you're not snatching souls out of the kingdom of darkness, and you're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you got a contract with the devil, my friend, and you don't even know it.
No, I have no dealings with him. He's despicable, and
Amen.
He has no love, and he's only a destroyer. Jesus described who he is. He's
Amen.
A killer, he's a murderer, he's a thief, he's a liar. There's no good in him at all. And so we don't need to have anything of him, because anything of the enemy is going to kill you. It's going to weaken you, it's going to destroy you. We have nothing to do with him.
We got nothing to do with him, but we need to wake up the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And this is what the show about. You need
Amen.
To wake up. You need to realize that we're in the last days. You know, people saying, oh, you know, I'm 28, I'm 30. You know, I was just talking to my daughter. I was praying with my daughter yesterday, and my daughter was grieved in her heart. My daughter just got back from college. She has, I think she got one semester left, and she was grieving in her heart that my daughter, because her 22-year-old friend died a couple of days ago, got into a car accident and internal bleeding and died. 22 years old.
Jesus.
Died.
Lord.
Gone. Not here today. We don't even know if she knew Jesus.
Wow.
I mean, 22 years old, life is gone.
Well, see, Brother Ramirez, that right there is the reason why we as children of the Most High God, believers, people that say they have a relationship with Jesus Christ, have to tell people about Christ. And it's not a scare tactic. Nobody knows how long they're going to be on this earth. And if you die without knowing the Lord, you're going to a bad place. Regardless of what people think, you're going to a bad place if you die without the Lord. You're going to be lost. You're going to hell. That's what the scripture said. That's what Jesus said.
That's the bottom line. You're going to hell. And there's no purgatory, by the way, my people. Don't believe the Catholic system that you got purgatory. You're going to be sitting somewhere and having a pina colada, and they're going to clean you up. They're going to polish you up. They're going to dress you up, and then you're going to make heaven. There's no purgatory because the thief at the cross, when he acknowledged that Jesus was the Lord, he acknowledged Jesus was Savior, he acknowledged that the only person that was going to get him to heaven was the person in the middle. He had no nowhere to go to work his salvation, by the way, but for the Jehovah's Witness, there was nowhere to go to work his salvation, and I got nothing against Jehovah's Witness. I'm just telling you, y'all need to repent and get back and get right with God so you can make heaven too, because we want everyone to make heaven. The situation with the thief at the cross, there was no situation today. He said, he repented at the cross, the thief. He had
That's
no
right.
So he had a little time to live because he was dying on the cross. And the one that was dying turned to him and said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, today you'll be with me in purgatory.
No, he didn't say that.
Okay,
He
said paradise.
No, he didn't say that. That's right.
Okay,
and that's the wonderful thing about our Lord. That was the wonderful thing about our Lord. Even though he was suffering and dying on the cross, he still saved that thief that asked for it.
But that's
what we were saying, and people need to realize that Jesus will save you from anything and everything. The enemy can't keep you from being saved. It's a choice that you have to make. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and you make the choice for the Lord Jesus, he'll do it for you. He'll save you. He'll take you out of whatever you're in. Brother Ramirez will tell you.
Even Christians that are in things today, that you've been sucker punched by the devil. That happens to all. No one is exempt. No one is perfect. No one is better than nobody here in that Christian world. We're just exposing the enemy for who he is. You know, you need to get the devil out of your house. You need to get the devil out of your life. You need to turn to God and say, Lord, this besetting sin. Besetting sin is when cycles of sin keep playing back and forth in your life. You want to do good. You want to serve the Lord. You're hungry for the things of God, but you keep falling back to the same location. The devil keeps tripping you in the same spot. This mm-hmm. is the stuff that you want to get rid of. This is that you want to make right with God. First of all, the devil, people, unbelievers, if you're listening today, witch doctors are listening today, soothsayers, root workers, or witchcraft, warlocks, whatever you want to call yourself, listen to me. The devil is playing you. You're not playing the devil. The devil is mm-hmm. playing you. Let me say this. I was a devil worshiper for 25 years. You can go out and get my book, and I'm not trying to promote my book. If you want, I'll give you a free copy. I want your salvation. I want your soul. I want you to be saved. The name of the book is called Out of the Devil's Cauldron, C-A-U-L-D-R-O-N. You can get it at Amazon. You can read it. Don't even get the book on Amazon. Just go there and read the reviews that are Amazon that are there so you can get witness too, because anyone that's made in the image of Christ, the devil hates you.
Amen.
Devil hates
right.
you. I mean, the devil is so bold today, Brother Bobby. The devil mm-hmm. is so bold today that look at the manifestation that is going around here. I think 5 incidents happened, people eating people.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the devil is so bold that he's not even hiding anymore. He's just putting it out there so people can see.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, you, in Florida, this homeless guy, his face got eaten. In Florida, I believe that this mother ate her daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the devil's out there. You got this. There was a porn star, and I think a porn star somewhere in Canada. He dismembered his friend, cut him into pieces, ate some of them, and shipped some of the other pieces out.
That's right.
You got this
other
guy claiming that he had a college roommate. He ate the college roommate. He ate his brains, or he ate his heart. And, or
mm-hmm.
whatever. I mean, the devil is not even hiding anymore. He's telling you, I'm here. I'm for real. This is
That's
me.
Right.
Don't blame medication. Don't blame that the medication or the person is crazy. No, this is demonic influence. My brother, I was a devil worshiper for 25 years. I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I was high. I was very high ranked in New York City as a devil worshiper. I knew what the devil's play. I knew how the devil play. I seen devil manifest and possess people. There was one time. Incident of a lady that she had a lover, and the devil didn't like her lover, and the devil warned her in witchcraft parties, telling her, you need to let that your lover go. We don't want you to be with her anymore. We don't want you to be with that person anymore. We don't want you to be with that person. This person didn't want to listen. This person was in love. I didn't want to listen. You know what the devil did to that? You know what the devil did? Possess a homeless person. The homeless person had a hammer on him, hit the person over the head 17 times and killed them on the bus stop. Okay, and this happened years ago. This happened
wow.
years ago. I'm talking about this happened in the 80s. Okay, so when I see this manifestation of the devil and people eating people, I know what it is. It is
yeah.
the devil, demons manifesting into people that are weak, that don't have a relationship with Christ, people that are weak, that the devil has license and access to get to them and get manifested to them and commit the crime that they commit.
Right.
Because if you ask that, look, I sat with... 2 weeks ago, I was fellowshipping with David Beckwith. Remember the Son of Sam?
Yeah.
Son of Sam, I had a chance to go. He read my book, and he was blessed, and he asked me to come to jail and see him, and I had an awesome time with him. What a transformed brother. What a brother.
Wow.
A broken brother in Christ, saved for 30-something
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
After he got caught for the penalties and the crime that he did, he after
mm-hmm.
ten years later, he gave his life to the Lord, and he's been serving Christ for like 30-something years. I sat with him. We prayed together. We read the Bible together. We had an awesome time like 2 weeks ago. And this brother told me, he sat with me. He told me, I sat with him. We shared, and this is ironic because only God has a sense of humor. Two ex-devil worshippers sitting there sharing each other's testimony from two different generations. I mean, only God can do that. I mean,
yeah,
only God
right.
can do that. You know,
that's
I mean, God
right.
can do. And you know, what he told me. He told me, John, when I was a young child, I was being tormented by demons. I was being tormented by demons, and there was a circumstance after circumstance in my life, and I had seizures, and my mother died when she was young, and I was close to my mother, but then I joined the service. He said he joined the military, and then when the day after high school, he joined the military, and then when he came out of the military. He decided to go to this party. He went to a party, and there was people at the party he met, and there was, you know, they introduced themselves, whatever, and they told him, oh, we're going to go hang out in this park next week. Won't you come? It's going to be at night. You know, they was going to smoke marijuana and drink, and that's what they were doing over there. And then they introduced him to the occult. That's how he got into the occult at the age of 22. So they were grooming him and talking to him, and he was hanging out with these people from time to time, and then they told him to buy a satanic Bible. So he went and bought a satanic Bible, and he said that he was working as a security guard late at night. night shift, and he said he would read the Satanic Bible every night at the night shift that he was in, and then he said one day something got in him. That's how he committed these crimes.
Wow, something just possessed him.
Something possessed him, and he went on a killing. He went out on a killing spree. You see, my people. So, and this happened in the 70s, in 1977.
That's right.
So what the devil's doing now, it's nothing new. Possessing people and people eating people, it's nothing new.
Yeah.
And then how is it that we fight against the devil? We just don't. You know, some people, some Christians think, oh, you know what? I go to church whenever, and I just read Ephesians 6, and I'm okay. You know, I'm okay, you're okay, we all okay. You know, that's the devil's lying to you. The devil's playing you. You know, it's not about just reading Ephesians 6 and you put on the armor of God and you're okay, I'm okay. And that's what they're preaching today. You're okay, I'm okay, we're going to be prosperous. We're gonna reign and we're going to rule. And you're going to have houses and you're going to have Cadillacs and you're going to have Rolls Royce. And you're going to have houses and boats and yachts and planes. And everything is cool. You're cool, I'm cool, we all cool.
No, but you know
no
what,
blood.
Brother Ramirez? No, but it's interesting, Brother Ramirez, but I heard what you said about the son of Sam, Berkowitz.
Mm-hmm.
He started reading that Satanic Bible. And when he started reading that Satanic Bible, what was in that Bible jumped over on him. Now, look, we have the Word of God. We have the Scripture tells us to meditate on the Word of God day and night.
Amen.
And when we meditate on the Word of God day and night, he said, then we will be of good success. We'll be successful. We'll grow. We'll be mature in the things of God. But we have to read the Word of God. We have to study the Word. Because the Word of God.
We have to drink the Word of God. We have to live the Word of God. We have to stand in the Word of God. We have to eat the Word of God. We have to digest the Word of God. We're not doing that. We're not doing that as Christians. We're giving God 15 minutes and we're giving the world a whole bunch of hours.
No, it doesn't work that way. You know,
it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way. Mm-mm.
And then you wonder why you don't have victory. You don't wonder why is it that the devil's in your house and you can't get rid of him. You don't wonder why is it that you're getting these demonic attacks and you're not being victorious or your family is not being delivered or someone in your family got cancer and that person can't be healed. And then, like you just stated, Brother Bobby, the son of Sam, which he called himself the Hope. I mean, he ex the son of Sam because that's not his name anymore. He called himself the son of Hope, and
amen.
Born again Christian, and something got in him. What are you watching that is getting in you?
That's right.
On TV, what are you watching that is getting in you? What is
that
you're listening to? This garbage music that is being played that you're running out and buying the CDs and you're listening. First of all, people. Make an assessment of who the devil is. The devil was in charge of worship in heaven. Now he's in charge of the music down here. The Bible said that he's the prince of the air. What does the prince of the air, what does that mean? He's in charge of the media. He's in charge of politics. He's in charge of the TV. He's in charge of radio. He's in charge of music. And we buy into that.
You
got Christians right now. You got Christians, instead of going to the gym or maybe going for a run and doing your exercise. Ain't no wrong with exercising. I've been exercising since high school. I love running. I love to run. When I run by the water where I live, I run by the water. I talk to God. I hear from God. I get messages from the Lord. I get a word from the Lord when I'm running. Now you got Christians. Now they're all into yoga.
For yoga.
They go into yoga. They got the little thing around there. They got the little mat around their around their shoulders, and they are going out to yoga classes. Meanwhile, when you're humming and you making all these noises, you worshiping demons.
Yeah, because yoga is a religion.
Right, absolutely. Eastern practices. If you look the history of yoga, you can't run into demons. And then, but meanwhile, I'm going to yoga because I'm looking for peace. But you got the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely correct.
And this is you know, and sometimes, you know, Christians, we get into stuff that we're not aware of. We haven't done our homework. And that's cool. I mean, some things happen because I've as a Christian, I have made my mistakes, you know, but I have repented and I have turned away from those things. And I said, Lord, I don't want that. I denounce those things. I close the door with them things in the blood of Jesus. I don't want no dealings with the enemy of any kind. I'd rather die tonight. I'd rather go home tonight and go home with the Lord tonight before I make a pact with the devil, before I go back into witchcraft. I'd rather die tonight and go home. I mean, I am in love with Jesus Christ. I don't want nothing in my life but Jesus Christ. I want no dealings with the world I hate the world. And when I mean I hate the world, I hate the system of the world. I hate the things
yeah.
of the world. I hate the things that contaminate the people, that keep the people away from the cross of Jesus Christ. I hate those. I hate the devil. I hate the demons. I hate sin. I hate the I hate the diabolical practices. I hate them. I hate the devil every day. You know, if the devil is real and I can see him and I can punch him out, I'll punch him out. You know, and I won't even repent. You know,
amen.
You know, I hate everything that God hates.
Amen.
That's
amen.
How we gotta be.
That's what we're supposed to be. That's
because,
how we're supposed to be.
Because, you know, if my daddy hates it, I hate it too.
That's right. You said
if my daddy don't like it, I don't like it either.
That's
you know,
right.
it's a funny thing because it's a funny thing because I got a daughter, and for those that have a son, sometimes your son mimic you, you know, as he's growing
mm-hmm.
up, he mimic, he wants to be like daddy, you know, and daddy's shaving at the mirror, and the son is looking at him and saying, wow, you know, could I do that, daddy? Or daddy
mm-hmm.
getting, or the son getting into daddy's shoes and trying to walk in daddy's shoes, or put on daddy's pants, and the pants are dragging all over the place, but he's trying to be like daddy.
Amen.
Are we doing that as Christians?
We're supposed to do that.
You know,
that's
I mean, are we doing that as Christians? We're supposed to be. And
mm-hmm.
this is what I tell the body of Christ today. Be like daddy. Be like your heavenly father. Don't let the devil get the best of you. Live your life. Run your race. Finish the course. You have purpose and destiny in you. Don't let the devil rob. You know how many Christians today are in the grave? They die with books in them. They die with songs in them.
Yeah.
They die with dreams in them.
That's right.
And today, they're at the cemetery today. They are buried. They didn't finish their race. The time was
That's
cut
right.
short because
That's
they
right.
thought that you know, hanging with the world, or they thought maybe giving a little pleasure here, a little pleasure there. The devil had gotten a chance to take him out. I mean, it just blows my mind. And this, and I mean, today, my pastor was saying this a couple of weeks ago. You know, Christians are coming from out of the club. They're coming straight to church. Out of the club, they're coming straight to church. I mean, brother, one thing. I live in the city. I live in Manhattan, and one thing I have to say. When I was a devil worshipper, I would be in clubs after clubs. I would go to clubs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and Sunday. The reason I didn't go to a club on Monday because they were closed. Looking for Christians, looking to put recruit people to the dark side. I was a hitman to the devil, for the devil in the dark side. Because I'll send witchcraft to your house that you couldn't stop because you couldn't see. I would do fortune telling. Be my fortune telling. I didn't know the future. Whatever the demon told me to tell you, I tell you. And then the stuff that I told that was future stuff, that was future. It wasn't really future because the demon would go home with you and perform them things, and you come back and you thought I knew the future. Then I rob you for $10,000. I rob you for $15,000 because you're so desperate to get that demon off your house. You didn't know it was a demon, but if I tell you your kid wasn't going to get on drugs, your wife was going to leave you, or you was going to lose your job. And you didn't believe it. You said, how could that happen? My wife, we've been married for 50 years. She would never cheat on me, or my husband never cheat on me. And then it happened. And then you come back so desperate and broken that you're helpless. So I said, well, you know, I can fix it for you. I can get your wife back, or I can get your husband back. Just pay me $10,000, and I'll make everything right again. All I have to do is just call back that demon, and everything goes back to normal, and you pay me $10,000. And I took it for $10,000.
Yeah. It's ignorance. And ignorance and lack of power in Christ. No discernment. No design.
And that's not knowing the future. Christ knows your future. Christ holds your tomorrows.
He holds the very
breath that you breathe in his hands. That at the day
you breathe no more,
you go back and turn into dust.
That's right.
Fear God. Fear the Lord.
Amen.
Fear God. Don't fear the devil. Fear the Lord. Make a contract with the devil. You know, one of the things that is amazing the most is, I think the end of the month I'll be on the 700 Club came to New York to do an interview with me, and we did an interview with the 700 Club. The Lord, you know, opened a big door for me, and I did an interview with the 700 Club. Awesome, awesome, awesome ministry. The
Amen.
700 Club, Amy, she came, the producer, David, did the interview. The cast that came here, we spent like 12 hours together.
Mm.
And the funny thing, when I made a contract with the devil, I had to cut myself and bleed and sign the contract with my blood. That's the thing. And when I made a contract with Christ, Christ shed the blood.
Amen. Yes, he did.
And the contract was made. I didn't have to shed my blood.
No.
He did it all. And on top of that, I took a piece of paper, and it's a funny thing because David, from the one that was doing the interview at the 700 Club, he asked me. He brought that into remembrance because it's on the book. Mm-hmm. Out of the Devil's Cauldron, it's in the book, mm-hmm. and he brought it into remembrance. And he was saying, you cut yourself, and I still bear the marks in my body from cutting myself mm-hmm. from the contract that I did with the devil, and back when I was a devil worshipper.
Mm-hmm.
But I bear the biggest mark is in my heart, is Jesus Christ, which oversees any marks in my body. And we were talking, and he said, well, explain to me that you cut yourself and you bled, and you signed a contract with the devil. And then he said, but then you made a contract with Christ. I mean, we know Christ split it, but I took a piece of paper, and I wrote, a crazy young Christian wrote on the paper, I'll be a bond slave to Jesus Christ all the days of my life. And I wrote 1999 on it, and I signed it. I said, Lord, this is my contract with you. Because I love you, you saved me, you opened my eyes. You could have let me go to hell. I was doomed to hell. Matter of fact, the reason I got saved because God took me to hell, and that's how I got saved. Read the book. I mean, God took me to hell. That's how I got saved, because there was no Christian powerful enough to evangelize to me.
Ain't that something? Praise God.
There was no Christian powerful enough to evangelize to me.
Mm-hmm.
So God said, I'll take you to hell. I'll get you saved.
God knows how to do it.
God knows how to do it. I mean, God is a marksman. I mean, point blank, bam, walk up in the dream. Jesus, you Lord and Savior, I gave my life to you. I took my $100,000 worth of witchcraft that was in my house, dumped it in the trash where it belongs, and gave my life to the Lord and never looked back.
Praise God. Praise God. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. And see, oh, hallelujah, praise God. See, God is the one with all the power. The Godhead has all the power. The devil doesn't have any power to God.
Amen. I love that, Bobby. I love that. That's what you're on point with that. You're so much on point with that. I love it.
Amen. Praise God. Brother Ramirez, I'm going to put this guest call in number out here and see if we can get some people to call in. Number is 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. We have Brother Ramirez on tonight, Out of the Devil's Cauldron. He's blessing some people. Call on in. It's 1-323-375-0849. And Brother Ramirez, before we get back into this, I just love reading the scriptures, and I'm going to bring something out of because this is where we are. This is right where we are. 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, but I'm going to start at 12. No, I'm going to start at 10. It says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. But listen to this part here. 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. And this is kind of what we've been talking about. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So in this day and time, this is one thing that Jesus said. When the disciples asked him, Lord, when are you coming back? And he said, one of the main things that Jesus said is, be not deceived. That's what Jesus said. That was one of the first things he said, be not deceived. Then he went into all the wars, the rumors of wars, and, people doing all kind of crazy stuff. But he said, be not deceived. And we just read here in 2 Corinthians 11 and 13 about these false apostles and deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We have to be aware that Satan is a liar. and he's a deceiver, and he will transform himself into somebody that you think is righteous, but he's not. So we have to be careful.
You have circumstances that preachers are being deceived by the devil. I mean, the devil knows scripture. The devil brought scripture to Jesus in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
He brought Psalms 91 to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he twisted it all. He don't speak truth. He speaks half truths. So you can
That's
fall
right.
into the deception. He speaks half truths.
That's
you
right.
Know, so you can
That's
fall
right.
into deception. He'll show you what's in front of you, but he doesn't show you what's behind.
You said that right.
You know, he'll show you what's in front of you, but he doesn't show you what's behind. What's your
right.
downfall? He'll show you the car in front, but he doesn't show you what he's holding behind him.
That's right. You're right.
And people are falling into these kind of things, and preacher pointing fingers at themselves. You know, preaching this false gospel, pointing fingers to themselves, like the devil did. You know, I got this, I got that. No one is pointing to the cross these days. No one is pointing to the cross. No one is pointing to the blood of Jesus. No one is pointing to saying you need to repent. You need to make right with God, because today could be your last day. Tomorrow, I mean,
that's right.
I share a quick testimony with you. My second oldest brother, and I'm going to write this on the book that I'm writing. My second oldest brother, he was a God hater. He would blast him. I mean, he was also into witchcraft, and he would blast him and say things to me. I was a Christian, and he would say things to me. I mean, words that would come out of his mouth. I mean, he'll make a sailor look like a saint. I mean, the curse words that would come out of his mouth, and all this stuff, and the filth that would come out of his mouth, and how he dishonored God, and so many. I mean, out of his mouth, the stuff that was coming out, and my brother came to a point in his life that he caught his health decline, and he caught a heart attack, and. He went to the hospital for surgery, and the Lord said to me, go to the hospital and go preach the gospel to your brother. And I'm like, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I say, he has a filthy mouth. I'm not going to go there and embarrass myself to go talk to my brother about Jesus. I mean, every time I would go walk into my mother's house, he would be there. He'll put on his coat and leave and say, oh, here come this preacher. He's going to be preaching this garbage here. And he would say all kind of crazy stuff that would come out of his mouth. So the Lord told me to go to the hospital. I went to the hospital, Bobby, to talk to my brother. And I told my brother, listen, I come because Jesus told me to come and talk to you. And as soon as I walked in the door, he had people in the room, a circle of people, worldly people in the room. I mean, I walked in, I said, God told me to come to speak to you. And he said, what do you want? He said, what do you want? What do you want to speak to me about? I said, listen, you're going for surgery. Let me tell you something, I told him. And I shared the gospel with him. And the Holy Spirit felt so hard in that room that he started to weep. And I said, I want you to understand that God loves you. And I know that you hurt and things that come out of your mouth are ignorance. But make a long story short, my brother accepted Jesus right there. He accepted Jesus. Yeah. Me and my brother was sick. He accepted Jesus. I went to his baptism after that. God gave him another year of life. We would sit in the car and listen to How Great Is Our God. We'll listen to You Can Only Imagine. This is a guy that hated God. We would sit and listen to worship song. And when he'd say, make me a CD, make me a worship CD. And when I didn't make it on time, he'd be, what kind of Christian are you? Where's my CD? Where's my worship? And my brother, a year ago, on a Thursday, he went to bed and didn't wake up the next day.
Ooh.
Thank God
he was asleep.
He bought a brand new laptop, started playing with his laptop, trying to get familiar with his laptop. You see, tomorrow's not guaranteed to nobody, even to the believer.
That's right.
You know,
what
I'm trying to tell you, Bobby, I'm trying to say to you that make right with God today. Make your life count today. You know, you're not living unless you're living for Jesus.
That's
you're
right.
You're not living unless you're living for Jesus. You're walking the earth spiritually dead. My brother, I preached my brother's funeral. And my brother knew, my brother, before he got saved, my brother knew the most worst people that walked the planet. My brother knew homosexual people. I mean, people that show up in the funeral, my jaw dropped. I mean, Jehovah Witness showed up at the funeral. Witchcraft people showed up at the funeral. I mean, I think it was like four people that were in Christ that only showed up. Three friends of mine and I went to preach, and they were only Christian. I mean, they had women there. I mean, and I said this in much love. They had women there that looked like men. I mean, they were into the homosexual lifestyle. They looked like men. I mean, we're talking about muscles and top of muscles. I mean, women look. And I preach from the book of Psalms. I think it was Psalms 116, beautiful, the death of a saint. I preached from there. 18 people came to Jesus Christ that day. 18 people.
Praise God.
Into Jesus. 18 people gave their life to the Lord. People called my mother the next day. They said, listen, I don't know what that guy was talking about. I just know that my heart was beating fast and my hands raised up when he said I wanted Jesus.
Mm.
My brother and his funeral won 18 people to the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what, Brother Ramirez?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. That's why we have this program. That's why we're talking about what we're talking about tonight. So people can come out of the deception and accept Jesus Christ as Savior.
Amen. Amen. People in the world that don't know Christ. Oh, why would a loving God send me to hell? First of all, God don't send nobody to hell. You send yourself.
You're right. That's right.
You send yourself. I want to correct that part. I want to elaborate on that real quick. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
God don't send no one to hell. You send yourself. God said, I lay life and death in front of you today. He even tells you what to choose. Choose life. You know,
that's right.
Choose the way. Choose the truth, the way, and the life. He said, I lay two paths in front of you. I give you free choice. Pick which one you want. And he even tells you, pick life. You know, pick mine. He tells you. So when people say, what would God send me to hell? You send yourself to hell. Because the bottom line is, it's like when you and I, Bobby, when we were in class, when you remember back in the day when we were in school and you got an A. You got an A in class. You say, oh, I got an A in exam. I got an A in exam. But when the teacher gave an F, you say, the teacher gave me an F. Oh, she gave me an F. The teacher didn't give you an F. You gave yourself an F.
That's right.
You gave yourself an F. You didn't study. You didn't do nothing to earn it.
That's right.
We gave it, I got an A. But when we get the F, we pointing fingers to someone else. Oh, he gave me
That's
the
right.
Oh, the teacher gave me the F. No, you gave yourself the F. Same analogy that you gave yourself. You could give yourself an A and go to heaven, or you could give yourself an F and go to hell. You have a choice today. Which one you want? You want A, plan A, or you want plan F? Choose today who you will serve. You can't serve two masters. You can't sit in the demon's table, and you can't sit in the Lord's table. You can't serve two masters today. You serve one or hate the other, or love one or hate the other, or love the other or hate the other. That's the bottom line, my friend. It's making a choice today. Making a choice to say, for me and my house, to serve the Lord.
Amen. That's
another thing, Christians are making the mistake comparing God with the devil. I'm saying, oh, God is the opposite of the devil, or the devil is the opposite of God. God doesn't have an opposite, my people.
No.
You can compare the devil opposite of Mark, maybe Gabriel the angel, or Michael the angel, because he was a cherub. Lucifer was a cherubim when he was in heaven. But God doesn't have an opposite. God don't even have.
No.
God doesn't have an equal. God doesn't have anyone that you can compare him to. I sat with the devil for 25 years, right? I sat with the devil for 25 years. For 25 years of my life, I sat with the devil in my home with demonic symbols on the floor, with fire on the floor, sat with the devil, talked to him all night, his presence in front of me. I can describe the devil to you at any given day because he's limited.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot describe Christ to you. Because Christ cannot be described. He's sovereign. He can only be revealed to you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No,
don't be fooled.
There's no words in our vocabulary whereas we can...
You can't point the finger on Christ.
You can't point the finger.
This is what he is.
No, you can't. There's nothing.
A puny mind can't even comprehend.
A puny mind
can't even describe who he is. Christ has to be revealed.
Yes, amen.
In order for you to accept him. I can describe the devil to you. I can tell you all his attributes. I can describe the devil to you, what he looked like, how he looked like, how he transformed himself, how he run the religion. I did it for 25 years. He's limited. I can describe him to you. But now that I've been serving Christ for 13 years, I can't describe Jesus to you. I can only introduce you to him.
That's right.
You have to have your own encounter with him because he's so big. He's so big that he covers the universe, but he's so small at times that he can fit in your heart.
That's right. That's right.
That's how awesome he is.
No, you can't. The only thing we can do is say hallelujah, praise the Lord.
That's it. That's all we can say. That's as far as we can go. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Blessed be the Lamb of God.
Yes.
You know, blessed be God. That's all we can say. That's the only thing that a mind could comprehend. We can't even scratch the surface. Who the reality, who he really is.
No. Mm-mm. Praise God. But God is our Father. Praise the Lord.
So you gotta ask yourself today, who would I serve today? Would I serve someone that he's limited and I can describe him and he got nothing to offer? Or would I serve someone that he's the CEO of the universe, that he holds everything in his hands? I mean, would I serve someone that died for me at the cross, that bled to death on the cross so he can save me? Or would I say someone that haven't done nothing for me? Which one would you pick? Which direction would you go? I mean, which one you want?
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, it makes sense to me now. As a devil worshiper, I can understand the scriptures. The scriptures are like, I read the scriptures as an ex-devil worshiper. I'm like, oh, my God. And when I went to hell, Bobby, when I went to hell, it was a gruesome place, a place of there was no hope, a place of there was no windows, there was no condo, there was no time, there was nothing there, but you know that there was no way out. And when I went there, the reason I got out is because the cross of Jesus Christ showed up in hell. And I'm not gonna get into the story. You can get the book I would love to pray for people, and I hope people can call in and we can pray for them and lift them up in prayer and stand with them tonight. And if those that don't know Jesus, they want to know Jesus, tonight is the night for your salvation. So that's important than me telling you my testimony. But when the cross of Jesus Christ showed up in hell, I understood when I read the scripture for the first time, and it said that God defeated the devil at the cross, that he made a mockery out
That's
of the
right.
prince of darkness. He made a mockery out of the kingdom of darkness. I understood
That's
that.
Right.
I understood. It made sense to me because I got saved in hell. I came from hell to church.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
That is awesome. I mean, to understand the scriptures. I mean, I got a friend of mine. She sent me something today she sent me this documentary today that is all over the news that people can't even hide anymore. That they said that in the Red Sea they done some. Red Sea, I got the documentary. They were digging up and they found human bones and they found pieces of chariots and all this stuff at the Red Sea. She was sending me that today. So my brother, God is true, and every man is a liar.
He's real. He's real. And
he's
true, and his word is true, and what the word said happened, and they're digging it up. They're digging it up all
they're
over the world.
They're digging it up now.
They can't even hide it anymore.
They can't even hide it anymore. They can't even put it in the closet. God is too big. You can't. First of all, you can't move God out the way. He's omnipresent. You can move the devil out the way, but you can't move God. And the only way you can move the devil out. And the only way you can move the devil out the way, my people, so you won't get confused, when I say you can move the devil out the way, is in the name of Jesus Christ, and with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way in this world you can move the devil out of your way, with the blood of Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus. That's the only two ways that you can move the devil out the way. Any other way, it ain't going to work. Any other way, there's no other way to move the devil out the way. But through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, we'll move him out the way.
Amen. Because Jesus has already defeated him. Well, the enemy is a defeated. The devil, he's been defeated from the beginning. But he lies to people to try to say, like, he's got all the power, and he knows he doesn't have the power. But if you will believe that and buy that, he'll have the power over you if you don't accept Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way out. He's the only way.
He's a free jail pass.
That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to put this number out here again. All you listeners out there, we thank the Lord for your listening. But if you have a question, you want prayer, you want to be set free, delivered, we'll be more than happy to pray with you. If you have some concerns, you got something you want to say, you can call in and we can address your issues. The number is 1-323-375-0849. Brother Ramirez, I wanted to ask you something about, you had said something about these false gifts and false talents and things that's happening in these churches. Have you experienced any of that? Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of this stuff today on TV. I see this stuff on TV, how people are preaching the false gospel on TV, how people are denying the power of Jesus Christ on TV, how people are saying this, how people are selling millions of books, and then they're saying that homosexual people could go to heaven. Mm. I mean, homosexual people, don't be fooled. Don't let the devil lie to you. God loves you. Yes, God loves you. And John remembers love you. But I have to tell you, you know, any sin, whether you're homosexual or you live in an adultery or you're cheating or you're stealing or you're lying or you're shacking up with somebody, you're not going nowhere. You ain't going to heaven. Unless there's repentance, unless you turn away from that lifestyle or you turn away from that sin.
That's right.
So, you know, I mean, you got people saying that even if you have one sin, it's okay, that it's okay, you'll make heaven. You got people preaching on TV saying, oh, you know, come get this miracle water. What miracle water?
No.
You got people preaching the gospel without no Bible in front of them. What are you preaching?
No, what you're right. What are you preaching?
Run out of that church. You got people preaching people happy. You got people preaching people. You got miracle soap now. You got miracle cookie now. Send your tithes, send your offerings, send your money. That you know, Christ is universal. I can't live in Africa, I can't live in a third world country, and there's nothing wrong with that because God loves those people too. My point is, I can't send you $1 and you tell me that I'm going to receive $100 in 30 days. That's witchcraft.
Yeah, you're right.
Witchcraft. That's you practicing witchcraft when you tell people that. You know, instead of pointing people to the cross. Yeah, seek the kingdom of heaven. Tell the people. Seek the kingdom of heaven first, and God will give you what you need. Not what you want, what you need. Because I want what I need. I'd rather have what I need than what I want. Because what I want, that might be just temporary. But what I need is it has substance to it.
That's right.
Because Christ knows what I need.
That's right.
God might want something today, and tomorrow I don't want it.
You said that right.
You know, tomorrow I want. How many times do you walk into a store and you see a suit and you say I want, and you walk the next day, I don't want that one. I want this one.
Yeah, change your mind.
Or you see this car today, you like this car today, and tomorrow you don't like that car anymore. You like a different car. Those are wants. You know, and that's what they're being preached. Deception, deceiving spirits in the church, being voice. You're hearing the voice of the devil disguising his voice. Stuff that you're preaching to the people.
Yeah.
You know, you're preaching. You're telling people, send this. I'll give you a charm, or I send you a bracelet. Witchcraft people use bracelets.
All right. See?
Witchcraft people use bracelets. I have plenty of bracelets. I don't need a bracelet. I need Jesus.
Amen.
I need to drink this miracle water. You'll be healed. The water ain't going to heal me. Crisis.
Amen. Yeah, that's it.
Here's this green handkerchief. You know, here's this, because they take the scripture and take it out of content. When you take a scripture and you take it out of content, you're practicing witchcraft. Because you take
all
a
right.
scripture for your own satisfaction, for your own need, for your own wants, for your own situation. Paul used a green handkerchief. First of all, Paul, it was a time and a place. The reason those things happened because God was, in the book of Acts, God was bringing up the church. God wanted people need to see the power, the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. We can still see it today. I mean, you go to third world country, I mean, people's legs are growing, people's breasts are growing, people's eyesight is coming back. Why we don't see it here in the Western world? Because we're practicing foolishness. We're preaching foolishness to the people.
Well, not only that, Brother Ramirez, they're preaching foolishness, but they're not preaching faith in God. In Christ.
They're preaching is look at me, look at me, look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to look at you. You got Jesus in you. I don't want to look at you.
No,
you know, and I'm not saying no one is perfect. I mean, but you know, you can make a mistake. You can get a scripture and make a mistake. I mean, I read a scripture and I made a mistake. Or sometimes when people ask me about a scripture, I'm honest. Just say, listen, I don't know what that say. Let me find out for you.
Amen.
Let me tell you what. I don't want to misguide you. I don't want to say something that it doesn't say that. So,
That's right.
If you give me some time, let me look into it. I'll get back to you.
Amen.
A false gospel. In the book of Galatians, Paul said, "Who have bewitched you?"
That's right.
I mean, what are you preaching to the people today? That people are not getting saved. They're making a mockery out of the church. You know, today people got mega churches. Well, there's nothing wrong with mega church because I go to a mega church. But you got a mega church and you pointing your finger to yourself. And then today you're not even preaching anymore because you got caught up in some crazy stuff. The devil snuffed you.
That's right. That's right.
You see? And God gets time to repent. There was a pastor, you know, he died here in New York. I mean, he had a mega church in down in Florida. And he died here in New York. You know, sad. An anointed brother. A brother that could have done so much for the Lord.
Yeah.
So much for Christ he could have done. and he died. There was another pastor somewhere else that he got caught up with stuff. Listen, if you're in sin, man, turn to a brother, turn to your pastor. Say, Pastor, I'm struggling with this, man. Don't play with the devil. Don't let the devil play you. Don't let the devil hold you any longer than he is supposed to hold you. Say something. Find a good brother, a good sister that can pray with you. You know, anoint yourself. Do communion. Cry out to God. Fast for 2 or 3 days.
Amen.
Break that stuff off you. Speak to somebody. Right. Don't hide it. Because when you hide it, it's going to grow.
Well, not only is it going to grow, but it's going to eventually destroy you. Because
my brother Bobby Jones, that is awesome. Because what you're trying to say is, what you don't kill, end up killing you later.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
When I read the Psalms 91, it speaks about the entrapment of the devil, and one of the most amazing tricks that the devil plays people with as Christian believers is the sin that is in the book of Psalms 91, the young lion, and the young lion represents the sin that you think you can control, the small sin, the sin that you think you can push away. Oh, I can watch pornographic on the internet, I can turn it off, I can watch a show, I can turn it off what I want, I can smoke a cigarette.
No.
And I can stop smoking when I want. I can drink and then but it's like having a pit bull, and pit bull is a very, very ferocious dog. But you can, as a puppy, you can smack it around, you can throw it back in the cage, you can push it around, you can tell him what to do. I mean, you have total control of this dog.
Yeah.
But what you do when the dog is 6 months old and weigh 160 pounds and have a bite that you can't even describe it?
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Yeah.
You know, so the same thing with the sin when it grows. What do you do with that sin that you can't control no more? Now, instead of watching 15 minutes of porno, you're watching 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're so addicted to it that you have a membership.
No. It takes the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, right. So instead of letting it get that far, kill it now.
Yeah.
Kill it now. Break ties with it.
That's right.
Make it right.
You have to.
Make it right. Talk to brother. Talk to sister. Ain't nothing wrong. I made my mistakes. You know, I made mistakes. You know, as a young Christian, or sometimes, you know, I can get up. You know, in a tough situation, I can say something to somebody. Or I can have a strong character sometimes. But I come back and I say, Lord, forgive me. I offended that person. And if I can find that person, I go back and say, listen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say this to you, man. You know, it just came out the wrong way. I mean, could you, you know, at least forgive me? You know, I try to make it right quick.
Amen.
No one is perfect. The Bible says it. We fall seven times we get back up. But I get back up quick. I don't stay down.
Amen. No, you can't.
I don't stay down. If you stay down, then you're entertaining the sin. If you stay down, and then the sin is growing. But if you get back up quick, then you kill it when you get back up.
Amen.
You don't lose the fight when you get back up. I mean, remember the schoolyard fights we had when we were back in school, you know, in elementary school. Someone knocked you down, you get back up quick. As soon as they knock you down, you're up quick again. You say, I'm not losing this fight. My mama told me I got to fight back.
You know, that's right.
My daddy in heaven telling me I got to fight back.
Yeah, that's how we were brought up. But see, the thing about it too, Brother Ramirez, you couldn't stay down there because if you stayed down there, if you didn't get up quick enough, the enemy, the fella that you were fighting, he was going to put some more on you.
He's going to put more on you,
and that's what the devil do. If you fall and don't get up, the devil is not going to leave you alone.
Don't get caught up with these things in the churches today. You know, the stuff that they watering down. I mean, know the word. Don't get caught up with this watered down gospel, which is no gospel at all. My people, and I'll read this to you real quick. I was looking at this just now. It says in Second Timothy, it speaks about power. Chapter 3. But now this is that in the last days perilous times will come. We're in perilous times right now. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, and headstrong, naughty means lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. That's what we got in the church today, my brother. That's what they're not talking about the unbeliever there. They're talking about the believer.
Yeah.
Paul is pressing the believer. He's not pressing the one that don't know Jesus. He's dressed as a believer. That's what they're going to turn out to be. And that's these are the people that are preaching the word. We have them in a high pedestal. We have them in a high pedestal. We have them up in close to Jesus.
That's right.
You know, we look at them like they're God. They're not God. I love my pastor. My pastor preached truth. I love my pastor and everything. But you know what? Mm-hmm. I keep my eyes on the cross.
Amen.
I keep my eyes on the cross. And my pastor will not get mad at that because my pastor is the one that points me to the cross every Sunday, every Tuesday. He preached the way he preached. I mean, if you don't believe what he preached, go to Times Square Church. Go to their website. You hear stuff that will preach that will make you tremble. Will make you tremble. It won't bring no condemnation. It'll make you tremble to check yourself, to do an inventory of who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Make sure that there's nothing missing of who you are. Because, you know, you don't want to miss, you don't want to be disqualified.
No. No.
Of the race
you don't want to be
that God has called you to run.
That's right. That's right.
Amen, my brother. And this is, we want to pray for people. My brother and sisters, you're listening out there. You know, you can call, make right with God, you know,
Amen.
Wherever you at. People, I mean, take your walk seriously. You know,
Amen.
Don't make pact with the devil. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the devil think that he loves you. The Bible says the devil comes steal. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's it. That's
you know,
all.
I mean, repent. Turn to God. And don't let situations, circumstances control your life. Let Jesus control your life. Let him be in the cockpit of your life.
Amen.
You know, I hear people
Amen.
Sometimes saying, God is in my vehicle. God is in my vehicle. I'm the driver. He's in the passenger. I don't want to be in the driver's seat. I don't want to be in there. I want to be in the trunk. I want Jesus to take over the whole car.
Amen.
Take over the whole car. You know, I don't want him to do with the car. I want Jesus to take over the whole entire car. Because, you know, if you give me assets of the car in the natural, I'll mess it up. I'll crash you into a pole.
Yeah.
You know, I'll crash you into a pole or something. I want God to be everything. People, I served the devil for 25 years. Believe me, there's nothing glamorous of serving the devil. There's nothing glamorous of making a pact with him. There's nothing glamorous about power. You want real power? The only real power I can introduce you to is the power of Jesus. The devil
Amen.
Got no power compared
no,
to the power
doesn't.
Of Jesus Christ.
No,
he got
doesn't.
Power over you. The only reason the devil got power over you is because you give him that power.
That's right.
You give him that power because you allow him to do whatever he wants in your life. That's the only reason he got power over you. The power of Jesus Christ starts with love.
Amen.
So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's where it starts.
Amen.
And from there, there's redemption. There is forgiveness. Imagine
That's right.
that you have your favorite shirt, the most favorite shirt that you save all your money in the world to get your shirt. And the shirt, you're walking down the block and your shirt catches stain.
Mm-hmm.
And the stain is so big on it that you are hurt and you are broken because you save so much for this shirt. But there's only one detergent in the whole world that can take away that stain.
That's right.
There's no other detergent that can take away that stain. So you are the shirt, my friend, and you're walking around with a stain. And
That's
the only
right.
thing that can wash that stain away is the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's the only
That's
thing.
The only thing that can wash that stain out of your life. Is the blood of Jesus Christ. You can be stained and look ugly, or you can be washed in the blood and look good.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to put this number out here one more time, Brother Ramirez. 1-323-375-0849. 1-323-375-0849. Now, to anyone that's listening, that desires prayer, we'll be more than happy to pray for you. If you have questions, if you have something you want to comment on, you can call in. We have 31 minutes left in the program. You all can call in and talk. I know there's some questions that somebody has out there. You might be a little ashamed to ask, but ask. I mean, if you have a concern, ask. I mean, you can get delivered from something that you're struggling with tonight.
Amen. Amen. Even if you're in the occult, even if
Amen.
You're in the occult and you want out, call. Even if you're in the occult, if you're in Santeria and you think Santeria is the truth, the way, and the life, call me. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. If you're in spiritualism and you think spiritualism that you're talking to your mommy, your daddy, and you're talking to your daddy, your mommy, you're talking to your aunt, your uncle, or you're talking to a brother, and because the spiritualism say, oh, you know, that we have familiar spirits. Your mother's here. She wants to talk to you. She passed away. That is a lie. If your mother's in Christ and your mother passed away, she's having such a good time with Jesus, she don't want to talk to you anyway. And if your mother passed away, and I say this in love, and if your mother passed away and she didn't know Jesus, she's in another place that is torment. She can't talk to you anyway. She's being tormented. You know, or your father or your mother. And I don't make light of this situation, no one's death. I don't make light of anybody's pains or anybody's anyone in your family passed away. But I'm telling you, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And if you don't believe me, go to Luke chapter 16. Read about it.
Amen.
There is a place called hell, my friend. There is a place called hell.
That's right.
There's a place
That's
called
right.
heaven. You might not believe in gravity, and you might not see gravity, but if you get into it, you throw yourself out the window, you will know it's there.
Yeah, you're going to know it's there.
You're going to know it's there. And all myself and Brother Bobby is doing, we are watchmen for the Lord, and we're just sounding the trumpet.
Amen.
Or you could be standing on the tracks, and all I'm saying, get off the tracks, the train is coming.
That's right.
You know,
that's
and
right.
we want the best for you. We want the best for your family. We want the best, whatever years you got left on this life, is nothing compared to eternity.
Amen.
There's nothing
no
compared
comparison.
To eternity. No comparison. You can be here today and gone tomorrow. It's a sad thing, and I share a quick story. There was a man down in the village. He passed on. He had a bakery, and he passed on. And I remember when I used to go to the bakery to pick up sandwiches and stuff like that, this person would, stuff that would come out of his mouth, profanity. I mean, profanity after profanity, jokester. And I was like, I would cringe in my spirit of stuff that would come out of. But, you know, he had good sandwiches. People go there, buy sandwiches, whatever. And this man came to a point that he passed on a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Passed on a couple of days ago, and the man was very Catholic, and they had a big mass for him, and people would touch, and at all of the mass and the ceremony they had for him, and all people from a lot of people showed up or whatever, and now it's all good, and it looks pretty, and
mm-hmm.
people, you know, and people say, oh, R.I.P., rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't resting
mm-hmm.
in peace, my brother, if you don't know Jesus.
Amen.
You're in rest nowhere in peace if you don't know Jesus. That sounds good. This sounds catchy.
Mm-hmm.
I know the man upstairs. I know the man upstairs. All these phrases sounds catchy.
Mm-hmm.
And all these
yeah.
ceremonies that when they do in the churches for you, when you die, all these ceremonies they do, it looks glamorous. It looks touching. You know, people cry. But the bottom line, where is your spirit man going?
That's right.
Your flesh is nothing. I mean, that's just a coat. It's like you're wearing a coat for winter. You wearing a coat, or you wearing a suit, or you wearing a pair of pants and a shirt. Really, that's what we are. It's what's inside
yeah.
that counts.
Yeah, that's right. That's
where,
right.
Is in, where is your the real person is going?
That's right.
Where is the real person going? And this is what I tell you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is
Amen.
The day to make right with God. And if you're in the occult and you practicing witchcraft and you burning candles and you talking to saints and you ain't talking to saints, you're talking to demons. There's no saints, by the way. There is angels in heaven, and there is
mm-hmm.
God. There is
mm-hmm.
no such thing as saints, that you're talking to saints, that you're lighting candles, that you're talking to saints, they're going to talk to God for you. That's hogwash.
Yeah.
You can
right.
talk to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus on your own. You know, and if you're an unbeliever, and you think that every time you pray, God hears your prayers, I tell you this so you can know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God's not going to hear your prayers. God don't hear the unbeliever's prayers. The only prayer that God hears from the unbeliever is the one when he repents and make right with God. And then from there,
Amen.
God will hear your prayers. Because
Amen.
The bridge between you and God is Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know,
That's
the
right.
bridge between you and Christ is between you and God is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is
word.
Not your bridge, your car is not going over the other side.
That's right.
Your
That's
prayers
the
are not going over to the other side. And that is the truth, my people. I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I remember when I was a devil worshiper, I would pray. I remember my devil worship. I would go to Mass as a devil worshiper. I would go to Mass and sit there and listen to what he had to say for a half hour and walk out the church feeling good. Oh, I'm going to heaven. Oh, I can't. Well, I'm going to heaven. Oh, this is good. But meanwhile, I was doing witchcraft. I was killing people. I was making people crazy with witchcraft. I was killing animals, drinking the blood, cutting myself, drinking my blood. I was doing all kinds of crazy, going to clubs, sleeping with women. living a life of debauchery, I'm still going to heaven. You know why? Because God is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to heaven because God is good, Bobby.
That's
no,
right.
No, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to hell. Because I made my bed, so I have to lie on it now. You know, I made my bed, so I have to lie on it. And this is what I share with the people. My people, if you listening to this show tonight, it's not a coincidence. It's not because you just say, I got nothing to do. If Christ wants you to tune in, because Christ wants you saved tonight. If you're in Santeria and you're in witchcraft and you're telling me that your religion is not wrong with it, call me. Let's talk about it. I did Santeria for 25 years. Let's talk about your secrets. Let's talk about how is it that you're going to get to heaven. What role you got that you're going to get to heaven? Because you ain't going to heaven either. You're not going to heaven. And that is the truth. You can't serve the devil and tell me you're going to heaven. You can't serve Jemaya or Chun, Chango, or Batala, all these demons, and you tell me you're going to heaven. You're not going nowhere. The only person that's going to kick you, the only person that can hold you by the hand and take you to the Father, his name is Jesus.
That's right. That's right. That's the only way you're going to get into the kingdom of God, the only way you're going to get into heaven. The only way you're going to have any kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and God is through Christ Jesus. That's it. That's it. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what people say, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. The Word of God is true. The Bible is true.
Amen.
It manifests every day through the lives of people. It's even being manifest through discoveries. I mean, they're finding everything that the Bible said. They're finding it now. There's hard evidence of it. The Word of God is true.
And
Jesus
if you don't believe that Jesus is true, you know what you do? I mean, test the waters. Test the waters. Bend your knee tonight, wherever you are. Bend your knee and say, Lord, if you for real, if you really real, if you are real like Bobby says tonight on the show and John says on the show, if you really real, show yourself to me. That's it. Take the Pepsi challenge.
That's it. That's it.
Take the Pepsi challenge. Bend your knee tonight. Be open with your heart. Say, Lord, if you're real, if you're this God that they're talking about, then come into my life. I guarantee your life will never be the same. I guarantee your life will never be the same. Once you take Jesus, believe me, you never go back to nothing else. And I was a devil worshiper for 25 years. I got a book that open up your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And once I say Jesus, I want nothing else but Christ. I don't understand Christians that they say they taste Jesus, they go back to the world and say, no, you didn't taste Jesus. You taste something that tasted like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You taste something that tasted like Jesus, but you didn't taste the real thing.
Yeah.
Because when you taste the real thing, there's nothing going, you can't go back to nothing else. There's nothing to go back to. Because once you taste the real thing, you can't go back to something else. You won't settle for something else.
No, you can't.
No. Your heart, your inner man, your inner self, your conscience, your who you are, your being, who you are, don't want nothing else.
No.
Listen, I live in the city. I can go to the Hollis clubs. I can have the best Johnny Walker Red Block. I can have anything. I live in Sodom and Gomorrah. I live in New York City. You can't get any more than Sodom and Gomorrah than that. I mean, you can go into a bar tonight and walk out, probably one girl looking like a model up here in the city. You can walk into any club and walk out with any girl looking like a model. You can walk into any lounge tonight and walk out with a girl look like a model.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the clubs. I did the bar scene. I did the lounge scene when I was unsafe. I mean, you can go into the clubs right now. If I were to go up to a club today, I wouldn't even know what to do. I mean, I'd be so out of place. I'd be so bored. I think I'd leave in 2 minutes. I wouldn't even know what to do. But I'm just sharing with you that so much temptation in New York City. So much temptation in New York City. And none of that stuff drives me to do anything. Because once I taste Jesus Christ, I don't live in the woods. I don't live upstate. I don't live in Wisconsin. I don't live somewhere like, you know, that I have to drive 3 hours to get to the store. You know, I live in the city that the city never sleeps. Well, you know how they say this in New York, the city never sleeps. I can get up at 3 in the morning, and the store is still open. I can go get me a cheeseburger at 3 in the morning. I can walk into a diner at 4 in the morning. It's still open. I'm walking distance to all this stuff. It doesn't move me. Because Christ is in me, and I'm in Christ, and that's all I want. All I want is Christ. people might. I live in a building, Brother Bobby, that mm-hmm. people, the people who live in the building are very well off in life. And mm-hmm. I've given them my book, the doormans in my building. Every people know I'm a Christian. I made it known that I'm mm-hmm. I'm in Christ. Wherever I go, people know that I'm in Christ. People, when their families are not doing good or stuff is not doing good or things are not happening right, they call my apartment and say, listen, you think you can pray for me? You think that you can pray for my family? You think you can pray for my wife? You think you can pray for my son? I get that. You know why? Because I let my light shine wherever I'm at.
Amen.
You know, I'm not embarrassed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love Jesus, and I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I'm in the elevator, and there's Jewish people in the elevator, which I love my Jewish people. I love Israel. I'm in the train. I read my Bible in the train. I'm not afraid of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of who he is, because he loves me. He gave me a second chance, and I'm indebted to that second chance.
Amen.
I thank him for that second chance.
Amen, amen. But you know what, though, Brother Ramirez, when you get, you know, it's hard when you have a light and you have a bright light. I work in a place where they have some lights in there, and the lights are 400-watt lights. And those lights, when they burn, they produce heat, but they also produce a lot of light.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't stop that light. Because it's that bright. So that's how it should be with us. When we have the light and the life of Christ Jesus in us,
mm-hmm.
Jesus said that light's supposed to shine. And you can't stop it from shining. And you're not supposed to try to stop it from shining. Then you shine it with your life. And see, our lives is our also our worship. Worship goes past just going to church on Sunday. Worship is something that you can do every day, and you do it with your life.
Amen.
How you live, how you talk to people, how you treat people, how you show the love of Christ, how you show the light of Christ. And that's what people should see. But it's got to be real.
Amen. Always.
It's got to be real. Because if it's not real, it's going to be like it was when you were doing what you were doing. I mean, you're not going to draw anybody. People see through it as nothing. So we have to be real in this thing. We have to have the love of God shining in us and through us. We have to have the light of God shining in us and through us. And that light of God and that love of God, all of this comes from the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We got to have it. We got to have it.
That's the way it is. There's no negotiating that.
No.
And that's what it is, and that's really the bottom line. And I just want to, you know, if anybody out there in the sound of our voice, I mean, please call, get your prayer, and get Jesus in your life, because we in the latter days, my friend, and the times that are coming, the only thing that's going to keep you is the cross of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that's going to keep you from anything
that's
else
right.
but Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I mean, we live in uncertain times. There's no foundation anymore. The only place that is sure, the only place that is guaranteed is Christ.
That's right.
It's Christ.
There's nothing else that you can hold on to.
There's nothing else that's going to bring you across the other side. There's nothing else that's going to give you the peace that you want. I don't care what doctor you got. I don't care what medication you're taking. There's nothing that's going to give you the peace like Jesus is. No one's going to give you the reinsurance. No one's going to give you. You want someone to hold on to you tomorrow? Let Christ hold on to you tomorrow.
Amen. Amen, because he's the one that holds our future. He's the one that, he holds everything. The Lord Jesus holds everything. He holds everything, and he knows everything.
I heard a story about this man. He was, they were in deep waters, and it's a true story. It was a very true story. He was in deep waters, and he got cut, and the boat got surrounded by sharks. And it was a small boat. It had about four or five people on the boat. So his friend decided to throw him overboard. Because he got cut, they figured, well, if he's bleeding, the shark could eat him. The guy they threw overboard was a Christian. They believed that when they threw him overboard, they all fell overboard, and the shark ate everybody up except the one that was bleeding.
Wow.
I mean, think about it. Except the one that was bleeding, the shark didn't touch him. The shark ate everybody else.
Wow.
You know, so it shows you that when God is with you, when God is protecting you, when God says he holds your tomorrow, they can throw you overboard. You won't drown. The sharks won't get you. And you have a testimony.
Amen.
Goodness,
Amen.
So no matter, you know, so this man has a testimony. He said, I was bleeding. I was in deep waters. A few sharks showed up. My friends, I guess on purpose, or maybe by mistake, they threw me overboard. I would say more like a purpose, but anyway. They threw him overboard, and the shark ate everybody else except him. Because when Christ is with you, who could be against you?
Amen. No, nobody can be against you. Because nobody
no
is, nothing.
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 Romans speaks about it. Nothing, no angel, no depth, no height, no principality. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ.
No.
You need that love tonight, my people. You need that. You need, and if you're a Christian tonight, make right with God. Make your life count. Run your race. Finish your race in prayer. Don't listen to that stuff that is that's being preached on TV. That there's some one or two group preachers on TV. I'm not taking nothing away from TV. I'm not taking away from, but don't listen to that stuff that, you know, miracle water. Don't listen to this prophet. You give me $30,000 and I'll send you a prophecy. That's all witchcraft, my people. That's witchcraft on the pulpit. That's which people that they come on the pulpit and they don't have a Bible. They don't have nothing. All they do is preaching happy messages. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. You don't need a happy message. You need to be right with God. You don't need a happy message to get you through. You need Jesus to get you through. You don't need a happy message to make you feel good. You need Christ. You need the Prince of Peace in your heart to make you feel good. You don't you need to know that it's repentance, it's salvation, it's redemption, it's seeking the kingdom of Christ first that counts.
Amen.
You don't need no situation saying how you're going to prosper. If God wants you to prosper, people don't need to tell you. It's between you and God.
Right.
He'll prosper you. I mean, and it's not wrong being rich, because in the Bible, there was many rich people in the Bible. But the money didn't control them. The money did not control them. The fame did not control them. All they wanted was Christ.
That's right.
That's what they wanted, was Christ, a relationship with God. They didn't care what they had. Look at the book of Job. Job was the richest man. And Job was one of the richest men that walked the earth. And all he wanted was Christ. He didn't care what he lost. He lost it all, by the way. He lost it all. He lost his family, his children. He lost it all. And he still wanted Christ. You know, Solomon was the richest man, Solomon was the richest man that ever walked the earth, even today.
Yeah. You're right.
David was filthy rich.
That's right. He was.
And he made his mistakes. But we still talk, he left a legacy. David left a legacy. Even his mistakes, he repented. David knew how
to
repent. David threw himself in the mercy of the court and repented. Saul, on the other hand, had it all.
Mm.
They know how to repent. Was a people pleaser.
That's
and today he don't have a legacy. His name is not even mentioned.
No.
Like David.
No.
David wrote 150 Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sharing, you know, the gospel. You know, and this is what we live for.
Yes, amen.
Like Paul say, absent from the body, present in the Lord. I don't know which one to choose.
That's right.
Because I'm comfortable enough. John Ramirez, and I'm sure Bobby Montgomery is comfortable enough that if today's the last day, we're good. I'm good. Hey, listen, thank you, Jesus. I'm good.
Praise
listen,
the Lord.
I'm good. I don't need to take no suits with me. I don't need to take anything with me. Lord, I'm good.
Good.
As long as I go with you. As long as when I walk into the pearly gates, man, Christ Jesus is waiting at the gate.
Amen. He is. He
you know,
is.
That's
because,
what I want.
Amen. Because when you accept, when you accept the Lord accepts you.
Mm-hmm.
It goes both ways. And when you hold on to him, he's holding on to you. When you make the choice for Jesus, Jesus has accepted you as not as a friend, but as a brother and a sister. He's adopted us into the family of God, which is awesome in itself, because we can't even imagine God. We can't describe him. We can't describe Jesus Christ. But yet, Jesus, God, has adopted us into his family. You can't get any better than that. You can't get any better than that.
That's the deals of all deals. That's the deal of all deals. You can't get any better than that. And I will say to you today, choose Jesus. This is an ex-devil worshiper. God has this. This is an ex-devil worshiper for 25 years that is telling you that there's nothing better. There's nothing you can compare. There's nothing that you can have. There's nothing that you can say. There's nothing that you can look for. There's nothing that you can say that will satisfy you. There's nothing that you can get. There's nothing that money can buy.
Amen.
Jesus is everything.
Right.
Everything.
That's right.
Believe me.
That's right.
Give him a chance. Give him a try. You won't regret it. Your life will never be the same.
Amen. Brother Ramirez, Brother John,
mm-hmm.
we got about, we got less than 11 minutes left. In the program, and it's been truly a blessing. I know it's been a blessing to me, and I know it's been a blessing to everyone that's been listening. What I would like to do at this point, I know that I don't know when y'all going to have the next strike the head of the serpent. I don't know when you're going to have that, but if you know that, if you want to put that out there and you want to tell some other things that you're doing, you can go ahead. We can leave space and time for that. You know, you can put that out there. And
I just want to reach out to people and say that
mm-hmm.
you know tonight, you know, in a show that we did, if you need to reach John Ramirez Ministries, you can go to johnramirez.org. You can send me an email. You need prayer. You want me to reach out to you? You want? I have a ministry number, which
mm-hmm.
is 917-587. 1127. If you want to read the book is up on Amazon, or you can go to my website and get the book. It's called Out of the Devil's Cauldron, CAULDRON, or you can get it in Spanish for the Spanish-speaking people out there. It's called Afuera del Caldero del Diablo. You can pick it up at my website, John Ramirez, RAMIREZ.org. And you know, be blessed. My concern for the body of Christ is don't get sucker in for the things that are not being that's not leading you to Jesus Christ. It's not leading
Amen.
You to the cross. They're saying this is the gospel. There's people saying, oh, there's revival here, revival there, run here, run there. The Bible says clear in Matthew, when they talk about me, run here, run there, don't go nowhere. Stay still.
Amen.
Be still
Amen.
Know that he's God. It speaks
Amen.
About don't run everywhere. You got people saying, oh, Jesus' face appeared in my house. Come see it. Ain't Jesus. Trust me. Ain't Jesus. I mean, you got all these fairy tales. You got people saying they speak to angels and all that stuff. They're speaking to the devil. The devil comes as the angel of light. Don't get caught up with none of that stuff. Read your word. Stay planted in the house of God. Go to a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
Seek the truth. Seek the truth.
Amen.
The only thing that's going to set you free is the truth of Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up with these TV preachers because they're wearing a nice suit and they look
mm-hmm.
all good and they think that because they got a TV show up there or whatever, and make sure that they're preaching the truth, that they're
Amen.
Leading you to the one that can set you free. They're not
Amen.
Leading you to houses and cars and boats and yachts and goldfishes and all this other stuff. You want
yeah.
Jesus in your life. This is what we're sharing, and you can go to my website. My website is all about Jesus. My website is about Christ. My website is, John can't give you anything. I can point you to the one that can give it to you. His name is Jesus
Amen.
Christ. That's all
Amen.
I can do for you. I have a book.
Amen.
You want to hear my testimony, you can get the book. You want prayer, I'm willing to stand with you and pray with you. I'm just a praying man. I'm just like
Amen.
Elijah. I'm just an ordinary man. I can
Amen.
Just pray with you and believe God with you. I got a little faith. The Bible says that's all I need. That's all I have.
Amen.
And I know
uh-huh.
I know who can move the mountains in your life. I know who can move the mountains in my life. I know who
mm-hmm.
holds my tomorrow, like Bobby and I. We come together to bring glory to Jesus' name and to edify the body of Christ. And
Amen.
That's really my passion and my heart is about Jesus. I'm not criticizing. I'm not downplaying nobody. But you know why? The Bible says expose the deeds of darkness.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
Praise
expose the
Lord.
Deeds of darkness. And if the person is not doing the things he's supposed to do and he's deceiving the people, then you know I need to tell the people that you ain't real.
That's right. Well, that's all we have to do. Brother Ramirez, we got about 6 minutes left. So I'd like to make a little quick announcement. Here at the Kingdom of God Ministries in the Atlanta, Georgia area, Kennesaw, Marietta, those areas like that, we are fellowshipping now at 9550 Bells Ferry Road. That is in Canton. If anybody desires to come and worship with us on Sunday, we will be more than welcome to have you to come out. And as I said previously, we really appreciate the fact that you all listen to us tonight, and we know that you are blessed in that regard. We only have a few minutes left, but I would just like to say a close, do a close in prayer, and then we're going to be, we'll be closing the show out. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for everything that was said and done on tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the moving of your spirit. For we know and realize that someone out there has been blessed and touched. Father God, we ask right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that you touch the minds and hearts of everyone listening, Lord, that they would turn to you, Father God, that they will accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and that they will surrender themselves to Jesus, that they would believe in him for their deliverance. We come against all demonic spirits. We come against spirits of oppression, depression. We come against spirits of infirmity. We come against all types of iniquity. We bind those foul spirits up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. Father God, we ask that you continue to bless us. We ask that your spirit continue to manifest himself through us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we seek your anointing. We want your anointing, Father God. We're not interested in what man is offering. We want what you want us to have, and that is the gifts of your spirit. That's what we desire, the gifts of the spirit and the fruit of the spirit to be manifest in us, and that people will see Christ Jesus in us and see the evidence of your spirit moving and operating in us in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes,
amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. Amen. Thank you so much.
Praise the
love
Lord.
You. And let's stay in touch. And who knows,
yes.
I'll meet you in person sometime before the year's over in Atlanta.
Amen. Amen. We're trying to work on that too, brother.
We're working on that too.
All right.
We'll definitely stay in touch, and God bless you. Mm-hmm. May the Lord bless you and prosper you and put a hedge of protection around you and your ministry, your family,
amen.
And your loved
amen.
One. Amen. In
amen.
Jesus.
You too. You too. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
God bless you.
Amen
Thank
and
you.
Amen.
Good night.
Okay.
Amen.
Good night. Bye.